States currently occupies in the world. In those days, the world was under Roman dominion. It had just recently been under Greek dominion. And the Greek language was the prevalent language of the day back at that time. At the time of the first advent of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we come to this date, and God's program has not changed. We thank him for that. And sometimes, as Paul says, we go through a lot of changes in this life. But basically, he says, God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you always, he said, even to the end of the world. Amen. So we're going to go ahead without any further delay and call your attention to some special verses that God had put in my spirit to discuss here for the Palm Sunday we are celebrating here today. Amen. Of course, most of you are aware of what that actually means. Palm Sunday was that Sunday when Jesus the Messiah was received by the people who shouted out, Hosanna in the highest. From the Psalms, a section of the Psalms known as the Hallel, which are practiced every year. Even till this day, they still practice the singing of the Hallel, which are a set of Psalms that were to usher in the coming of the Messiah. We mentioned briefly in last week's lesson about the fact that the Jews would have the Passover, and they would set a table and also set a space at the head of the table where there was no one sat there. And they would leave the door open. They're looking for Elijah to come in and usher in the coming of the Messiah. And so they had their rules and rituals, things they went through to anticipate the coming of Christ. And this time, Jesus himself had shown up in the world this particular year. And we would mark the time by our calendar saying that it was about 2,017 years ago when Jesus was born, approximately. So this would have been about 33 and a half years later, after his 3.5 year ministry was about to come to a close. And he had come in and shown that he was God. He had shown up and shown off, we would say. Everybody knew they were dealing with God. We looked at it in the Sunday school this morning, and Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, he was called, came to Jesus by night saying, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, but no man can do the signs that thou doest except God be with him. So he understood by the works, the signs that Jesus did, that he was, in fact, the Messiah. And he didn't want to say that. He came a little short of saying, oh, we believe you're the Messiah. But he just said, hey, I know that no man can do the signs that you do unless God be with him. He wanted to stop a little short of what the truth was. But the fact is, Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, it said there in John, and Jesus had to kind of set him straight. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said that to Nicodemus. Nicodemus says, what? That kind of went right over his head. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say it unto thee. Don't let this blow your mind, Nicodemus. You must be born again. So what did he do? He went right into the flesh. Hey, well, can a man be born and go back into his mother's womb a second time? He said, no, you missed it, dude. That's a modern interpretation. You missed it. He says, no. He says, the wind listeth and you hear the sound thereof, but you don't know where it came from. Neither do you know where it is going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The Spirit comes upon you, and you don't know where it came from, and you don't know where it's going. So is everyone born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus didn't really quite get it, but Jesus said, you need to have a spiritual rebirth before you can see the things of God. Amen. So we've been counting on that. And this was even before his sacrifice. We mentioned that this morning. So, but there was a time in that history of Jesus when the multitudes who also knew what Nicodemus knew began to acknowledge Christ for who he was. He came in the manner that he had spoken and that had been written in the prophets. This is the thing I want to talk with you about today. The prophets had said that Messiah will come on the foal of a colt, you know, riding up on a donkey that has never been ridden upon. That was a sign of royalty at that time. That had been prophesied by Zechariah in chapter number 9. And so Jesus knew that. He told his disciples just what to do, how to set everything up. They were amazed at his omniscience because he told them to go and talk to a certain person. You'll see a man carrying a pitcher of water. He described the whole thing, how this is going to go down. And when they went, it went down exactly like he had described. He said, if you go over and loose that coat, and if the man asks you, what are you doing? Tell him the Lord had need of him. And so all that happened in that quick little time there. And they went and loosed the colt and bought it. And they began to throw their cloaks on its back and scatter down the road with palm branches. And this is the reason why we use the palm branches that you see us symbolize here with the palm, because the palm was used to usher in the Messiah. They would do this celebration, but Messiah had never came in. And this time, this year, he came in riding on the foal of the coat. Everybody shouted, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And so he was received by the people. And the Pharisees didn't like it when they start hearing the people praising and hailing him as Messiah. They said, well, stop that praising him. What are you doing? You know, trying to rebuke them. And Jesus said, if these don't praise me, the rocks will cry. See, because it had to be done. God's promises had to be fulfilled. And so we're going to take a glimpse at that time period here in our lesson for today. This is a special message. And I think all of God's messages, just to put this into the framework that we have been discussing, are to allow you and me to live our lives without fear and anxiety. Because there's so many pressurous things in life that pressurize your life and make it difficult for you. Makes you load up in your mind mentally with weight that God doesn't want you to carry. You know how you know he doesn't want you to carry it? Because he said, cast what? All your care upon him, for he cares for you, Peter said. See, you don't carry the load, cast it up on him. Jesus said that, didn't he? He said, come unto me, Matthew 11:28, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Don't carry that load. Come to me. I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You hook up with me and I got you covered. That's a simple way to say that. Come and yoke up with me. Let me teach you. A yoke is going to put us together head to head. Your head's going to be going the same way my head is going. Except you're not going to be pulling the load. I'm going to pull it. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said, and in me you find rest for your souls. So he wants your soul to be at rest. That doesn't mean be lazy. It just means be at rest. Throw away the anxieties. Take it off of you. Realize God has covered what you need. I would imagine we all need a dose of that. You see, because we have a tendency to want to carry it ourselves. And that's what gets us frustrated. I think that's why there's so many different drugs and things being sold and taken. Because people get pressured and under pressure and get where they can't handle it. Cast it off of you. Give it to Christ. He's able to carry it. And you know what? The proof of it was the thing he went through in order to attain salvation for me and you was so tremendous. Every time I think about it, it's mind-blowing to think about coming into the world that you made and walking among the people who you made, the people who you love, who somehow hate you because they don't understand you. And we got our own way we've been doing stuff. Now, here you come telling us all we need to do is trust in you. We don't know about that. What about Moses? Want to go back and try to drag Moses into it? See? Or whoever, some of the old prophets. But you came to give us rest. And Jesus tolerated that. He went along with folks who he had given authority, who were rulers and different types of people who were in authority. You know, the Bible says that there is no authority or no power except God gives them authority. So God elevates governments. Men don't really do it. God instituted human government. That was his idea, to give us a system of governance so that we wouldn't just run rampant. Can you imagine a world with no police, no army, no military, none of the stuff that's in the world? That stuff is necessary, because if you didn't have it, think about what sinners would do. Look what they do with it, even though you have it. How many murders and rapes and break-ins do you hear about on the news? You know, all the time, even with government in place. But government is not the final answer. It will be ultimately, because as you know, last week we talked about a time that's coming And the Bible says it's going to be when Jesus rules and reigns on his throne. We mentioned that in our message last week, that there is a kingdom coming that will be flawless. The government of God will rule and reign on planet Earth. And people will study war no more. We looked at that last week in Micah chapter number four, in Isaiah 2. And so today I want to talk with you, since this is a special day. I have some special things in my mind thinking about my good friend, Deacon Perry. I love that man. He was a dedicated man. And we're not here to eulogize him this morning, but I can't help but mention him. Because if he was intact, he would be sitting right there in the front row. You see, and he would be here and he'd be joyfully listening to God's word, because that's the kind of man he was. So I can't just put that out of my mind. I have to think about him, and I'm going to talk about it just a little bit here. And I think about people like him who went through all he went through, and with all the difficulties and challenges that he had to get around, and he was faithful to God. And so that's all God wants us to do, is be faithful, you and I. If we could do that, boy, we'll be on the right track, I tell you. Faithfulness is worth its weight in gold. It really is. You see, can't do anything better than to be faithful to God. Find out how you can be more faithful. I like the models that God has given us. Amen. But let's take a look at a text or two here just to get our minds spinning in the word here. We're going to take a look at one of the sections of those Psalms that I mentioned to you, known as the Hallel, which is kind of the first part of the word hallelujah. If you want to look at what Hallel means and where does it come from, and what does hallelujah mean? We know what that means, right? That's the highest praise to the Most High God. Hallelujah. See, and the Psalms were called Hallel. Okay, so you can kind of see the connection, Hallel and hallelujah. See, that's just to give honor to God. So this one we're going to look at today, just a few verses out of Psalm number 118, verse 22 to 25. I'm going to ask the deacons to come and read in the sanctuary the inerrant word of God from both the Old and the New Testament, preceding our message here. You may stand at the reading of the word if you're able. Amen.
Is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Mm. Save now, I beseech thee. O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity.
My. The word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. May God bless the reading and the hearing of the old covenant word. And now for the New Testament reading.
Mama. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stone would be
dry. My Lord.
And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in thy day, the things that belong to thy feet. But now they are hid from thee, from thy eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation.
My Lord, word of the Lord to the people of the Lord, you may be seated in the sanctuary. Amen. We see that Jesus came as Messiah, but was rejected by his own. I'd like to talk with you today just briefly about trusting God's promises. Amen. Trusting God's promises. Let's pray. Everlasting God, we bless you. We praise you, Father. We just thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for your son. We thank you for your presence, Lord God. The fact that you are there, Lord, to bless the man that you made to bless all of mankind. And Father, sometimes we don't know how to receive a blessing. And so today, Lord, we ask you to humble our minds and our hearts. Let your word speak to us, O God, through your spirit. Help us to understand what we're hearing, Lord God, as we study your word and as we pray over it. Lord God, that we might be able, Lord God, to comprehend what you are doing, Lord God, and what you have done already and what you plan to do in the future to come. Help us to zone in on that, Lord God, and to be a part of that. Help us to realize that the things that you have promised will certainly come to pass. No matter what people do with it, that the things you have promised will certainly come to pass. Help us to understand your promises today, Lord God, and have our trust rooted and grounded in the things that you have promised. We ask this in the sanctuary and to those hearing our voice remotely, however they are hearing it. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, the Prince who you have sent, that came and was rejected by men, largely, Lord God, but you still will return his coming once again. So make us ready, O God, in the meantime, that we might be able to stand on your promises, Lord, and execute that which is well-pleasing in your sight. We ask this in the name of Jesus, the Messiah, and it's in his righteous name that we pray, and the church said together, amen. Trusting God's promises. This is what life should be about for me and you. The reason is God has promised many things in his word. We can look and see from history that what God promises comes to pass. No one can deny it. There wouldn't even be a church if God's promises had not been faithful. God's promises are faithful, and therefore they are worthy of your trust. What you're going to find is when you begin to trust God, I know you may say, oh, I trust God for this, I trust God for that, certain things. But I want you to get to the place where no matter what you're dealing with, regardless of what you're going through, that you realize that God has never failed to keep his word. God always keeps his word, and trusting his promises is what we must do. Sometimes we trust in God's promises when things are going well. And when there are no problems, no issues, things are going pretty well, we tend to think we are trusting God. But then sometimes when things come into our life that is not so well, we have a tendency to wonder, God, where are you? Kind of like when we think about people like Job. He was going along. Everything was fine. He was being blessed hand over fist. And then all of a sudden, he didn't know about a proposition that was being made by God to the devil. God called Satan and said, hey, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? God started that conversation. See, and the devil said, yeah, I considered him, but you protect him. You got him hedged in all about, and there's no way I can get to him. The only reason he blessed you because you gave him all that stuff. And God, the devil made an accusation that the only reason Job was faithful is because of all your blessings. He said, but take that hedge down and let me get to him, and he'll curse you to your face. Wow, boy, you say, what now? Take down that hedge. Let me get him. I can't get him unless you let me get him. That's the way it is with the devil. He has to get permission to get you. Did you know that? God has let him do it. Just like Jesus said one time to Simon Peter, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan has sought to have you that he might sift you as wheat. Didn't he say that? Peter was pretty confident in himself. He says, but I have prayed for you is what Jesus said. He didn't say I told him to go away. He said, I prayed for you that your faith fail you not, so that when you are converted, you can strengthen your brother. He said, because whatever you go through dealing with Satan, when you get through it and you see God never failed you and never forsook you, you will be stronger. And so you know what? It's bad if the church doesn't tell you to expect Satan to trounce on your territory sometime. It's bad if you don't understand that. Because you might be thinking, oh, God is forsaking me. But God already promised you. He said, what, lo, I am with you always. Does that mean when the devil is trouncing on me, you're still with me? Yes. I will be with you always, even to the end of the world, he said, right? So we got to learn to trust his promises no matter what is being dealt up in our lives. There can be all kinds of difficulties and circumstances in our life, but we need to trust God through it all. God said, I would that you be in good health and that your soul prosper even as your body prosper even as your soul. So when you get in a time of sickness, don't go think, oh, God is abandoning me. That's what people tend to do. No, God is allowing you to go through something so he can bring you out of it. See? And then even other times, we can see so many examples of this looking through the word. Think about the Apostle Paul. How would he have been had every time somebody came and attacked him and accused him of being a lying, cheating, no good philanderer for telling him about Christ and kicking him out of town and stoning him, that God had left him? Do you think the gospel would have went as far as it did? And the answer would be no. But see, Paul knew, if God keeps me going, no matter what happens to me, I am going to persevere. He trusted in God's promises. Now, God always does exactly what he promises. That's the one thing I want you to know. You can count on that. And if you don't leave with anything else today, realize that God has promised you that he will bless you. He has promised you prosperity. He has promised you salvation. He backed it up by giving his son and allowed him to be crucified to settle our debt once and for all. Now, but think about Jesus himself. Imagine that now for just a minute as we look at this text. It says here in Psalms 118 and 22, he is the stone which the builders refused, but he has become the head of the corner. Their refusal of him did not change what God sent him for. God sent him to be the head corner of the building. This building is known as the church at this time. The church simply means called out ones. We are the ecclesia, the Greek says. That means you are called out. And it consists of both Jews and Gentiles who trust and believe in the name of Jesus Christ. See, it has no bearing on ethnicity at all, period. This message was to be preached to every nation, Jesus said. And it says here, he is the stone that the builders refused. The builders refers to the Old Testament saints, the Jews, to whom the word of God had been entrusted for generations. You see that? And they rejected him when he came, but he has become the very head of the corner. He has become the chief cornerstone, even though he was rejected by his own, written down in the word in the Psalms hundreds of years before its fulfillment. And it says in verse 23, Psalms 118:23, this is the Lord's doing. So who is it that allows this? And it is marvelous in our eyes. See, and we can tell this is definitely messianic, the psalm itself. It says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, we throw that around all the time. But God is talking about this day that he made when his son would become exalted as the king. He came to be recognized as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He came to fulfill Psalm number 2, that I'm going to set my king on my holy hill in Zion. He came to fulfill the prophecy of Zechariah that the Messiah would come, the king. It says, behold, the king cometh lowly and riding upon a donkey, the foal of a colt. That was all written in God's word. It was his promises coming to pass when Jesus first came. But now, you know what? God also knew that he would be rejected. So that was also written in the prophecy. The people were crying out here, as it says in verse 25, save now. That's Hosanna, some translations say. I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. The Jews had been oppressed for many generations by many Gentile nations. They had been in Assyrian captivity for a long time, the 10 tribes to the north. They had been taken into Babylonian captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. He was overthrown by the Medes and the Persians, by Darius and the Mede, and so many different kind of transitions went on, and the Jews were scattered here and there, all because they didn't trust in the promises of God. God told them exactly what to do, and they refused to trust in God. So God allowed these Gentile powers to overtake them, and they were scattered into different lands. By this time, they had come back even after Alexander the Great overtook the Medes and the Persians. He'd conquered the world, and they were under Greek, Greco-Macedonian dominion, we would say, for a long time. And then eventually Alexander, after he had conquered everything by the age of 25, he became bored and drank himself to death. Did you know that? One of the greatest conquerors in the history of man at the age of 25, dead from alcoholism. Drank himself to death. And because there's nothing else to conquer, I've conquered the whole world. Wow, imagine that. I think about Pinky and the Brain. Y'all know about that. What are we doing today, Brain? What do we do every day, Pinky? We're going to conquer the world. That's what he says. It's a joke. It's a little ridiculous. But that's the way he felt. You know, he felt like, okay, I did everything I can do, and there's no more I can do, so he drank himself to death. Wow, what a terrible end. And then eventually the Romans overtook. And by that time, they allowed the Jews to come back into Jerusalem and to inhabit their land, although they were under the dominion of a false ruler. Herod was never in the line of David. He had nothing to do with the families of kings or the theocracy that God had passed down through the seed of Abraham. And he was sitting there on the throne at the time Jesus came. So God was true to his promises, but people had wavered off to do their own thing. And so they were taken by surprise when Magi came from the east. This is at the birth of Christ. Said, where is he that's born the king of the Jews? Wow, that blew them right away. It said in Matthew that all Jerusalem was troubled when they heard that thing. And Herod was troubled and all Jerusalem with them. See, why would you be troubled and God is keeping his promises? He's coming through right on time. But they were not thinking about it because they had started to do their own thing. So that's why I wanted to tune in. The key issue for us is always trust God's promises. Doesn't make any difference what you see, what's going on. Somebody say, well, they got Trump in the White House. Well, it don't make no difference because God's promises are still good. It don't make no difference who's in the Kremlin. Doesn't make any difference who's in the city hall. Makes no difference who's in political authority. God's promises are still going to be done. And you got to put your trust in him. Don't worry about it. Let these people fluster you with their crazy behaviors and propositions that they make. God is able to do what he said. So you and I need to trust in the Lord. Notice what it said here. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. No place for a long, drawn-out face there. See, you're going to rejoice in the Lord. Bible says, rejoice in the Lord, Paul said, always. And again, I will say, rejoice. So our rejoicing needs to be because we trust in the promises of God. Doesn't make any difference who's doing anything. They can't change a thing. This we know exactly, and we talked about this last week. Where the world is heading for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is going to rule and reign on the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end, Isaiah said, chapter 9 and verse 6 and following. He said, that child that was born, the son that was given, the government shall be upon his shoulders, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And he shall rule upon the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. That's where it's going. So it doesn't make any difference what happens in between. You and I want to learn to lean and depend and trust on God's promises. Because God promised. They said, save now. They want this to happen right now while we're here, while we see we know you coming in. Save now, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you. Send now. Prosperity. They wanted Israel to be restored. Even after Jesus got out of the grave, I got to mention this. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, he told them to go and wait till you be endued with power from on high, right? Got out the grave, Matthew 28:18, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all the nations. You know what? He told them to go to Jerusalem and wait till you be endued with power from on high. So as soon as they see him in Jerusalem, guess what they say? Master, is it at this time that you will restore again the kingdom to Israel? Whoa, you still don't get it. It's amazing. They're still looking for him to overthrow the government. After he got out the grave, well, we know you got power now. We saw you defeat the grave. But here on this side of it, he was heading for the grave. He was heading for the cross. He was coming in to be rejected by men, like to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah 53, that he will be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace will be upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So he knew what he was going through. Nobody had a place for that in their mind. A crucified Messiah? How can that fit in the scenario? They couldn't understand it. But notice in Luke here. Now, Luke says he tells the story of how Jesus came as the Messiah. It says that when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, coming down out of his prayer place, where he went to pray and meet with his disciples, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. They knew he was God. They were certain. They seen so many things, Hallelujah, we know you are the Messiah. Saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. They knew who he was. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees, these were the religious leaders of that time, says here, they getting a little upset now. They're giving him a little bit too much attention here, you know. From among the multitude said to him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Why are you letting them praise you like that? Who you think you are is what's going even in their mind underneath that. And Jesus told him, he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, that the stones would cry out immediately. See, because he had to be praised because he was God. And he was coming in to do that work that no one else could do. Now, you know, as Jesus continued on, Luke 19:41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Now, this is another time we think about Jesus wept over in the book of John chapter 11, shortest verse in the Bible. Here he wept over the whole city, it says here in Luke 19, saying, if thou had known, if only you had trusted God's promises, is under the back of his thoughts, even thou, at least in these days, that the things that belong unto your peace, if you really understood where the true source of peace comes from, but now they are hid from your eyes. You know what happens when you reject God's word and his promises? You could get blinded. There's a blindness that will come upon you if you don't believe what God said. Now, this is a spiritual blindness. It's not necessarily physical. But he said, if only you had known what about the things that belong to your peace. But now they're hid from your eyes. Why? Because you're about to crucify me, he's thinking. For the days come, he says, the days shall come upon thee, and thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee around, and keep thee in on every side. In other words, you're going to be overtaken and destroyed. That's the prophecy of the destruction of Jerusalem that took place in A.D. 70. In 1944, here it says, and they shall lay thee even with the ground. You're going to be completely dismantled, and thy children within thee. And they shall leave not in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. God is on a timetable. He said, because you didn't recognize the time of your visitation, this is what's going to happen. He prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem. So trusting in the promises of God is where we want to get. And I just wanted you to see this in honor of Palm Sunday today. But the Old Testament prophecies of the coming Messiah revealed the one whom God had promised was coming to deal with the problem of sin, and therefore separation from God in order to completely restore believing mankind back to God, which was celebrated and anticipated by believing mankind back to God, I should say. And it was celebrated and anticipated by the Jews, who were the legitimate people of whom these promises were made. God made the promises to the Jews, who also rejected Jesus as a nation. Nationally, they rejected him when he came to them the first time. His first advent, he was rejected. Guess what? He's still rejected today by many, not all the Jews. There are some believing Jews who are a part of the church, but the majority of them reject Jesus, the Messiah. And he is the only Messiah God intends to send. It was a routine part of the celebration of the Jews to live in anticipation of the coming of Messiah. Yet when he actually did arrive, he was met with unbelief, which was also prophesied in the Old Testament with flawless accuracy. God told exactly when that would be, you see, and how that would happen. And so all of that's written down. That's why you can trust in the promises of God. So Palm Sunday is the commemoration of this special time, which offers proof of the accuracy of the Old Testament, and therefore is the best witness that everything else stated in God's word should also be trusted by believers in that. And the final advent of Jesus the Messiah is coming soon. It could be any day. That's the next event on God's calendar, is the return of Christ. Now, which part of the church are you? Are you a part of the sleeping part that doesn't think he's coming? And are you living as though he's not coming? Are you living as though, well, you know, he ain't came yet? That's what some people say. I've heard some people say, well, I sure hope he don't come now, because they got some junk going on in their life that they don't need to have. See, And some people are totally innocuous. What about people who don't even think that, I don't need to be a church? That's optional. You know, I don't need to hear the word. And the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and even more so as you see the day drawing near. As you see the time approaching, and we know it's approaching because he told us the signs that we could look for in the coming of the last days. See, so you shouldn't be trying to go away. You need to be trying to get connected more deeply and find out, get the word out even more. If you understood the urgency, you'd be worried about neighbors and friends and relatives and co-workers and folks who don't know Christ. You'd be concerned about Jews who still reject Jesus. You'd be concerned about all these different things you see going on in the world. And there will be a fire lit up under you to try to tell somebody about Christ. And if you got stuff in your own life, you'd be trying to find a way to get this cleaned up and set my house in order. Like Joshua said, you know, you set your house in order. Isaiah told King Hezekiah, because you shall die and not live. Hezekiah went and got busy trying to get right with the Lord. See, so that's the way we ought to be. God loves you. That's why he gave Jesus to pay the debt entirely. If you trust Christ, you do not have to worry about a sin problem. See, because he will cover you. That's why he came. He knew that we were wretched, miserable, and that we needed to be covered. Otherwise, we would never be right. But he also came to fill you with his spirit and empower you to clean up your life and do right. And to give you an understanding of his word so that you can do right. See, so that you can help others get on board before it's too late. Amen. So trusting God's promises is what we always ask you to do. And to me, it's the most blessed thing of all to think about the fact that God loves us just like we are.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I don't know what you think about it. But maybe I don't know you like I know me. When I think about me, I go, boy, it's amazing God would love me. You know, I don't know how you think, but you think maybe you think, well, God, it's a wonderful thing that you have somebody like me. I don't know what you're thinking. But for me, it's amazing.
Oh yes.
But God accepts you just like you are. He doesn't ask you to change a thing except what you believe about Christ. And when you do, I'm going to fill you with my spirit. My spirit is going to open my word to you so you can understand what I'm saying and trust my promises. My spirit is going to convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. See, that's what he said. He's going to lead you and guide you to all truth. The Holy Spirit is going to lead you and guide you to all truth. He said, I'm going to give you a family of people just like you that are fallen, that Christian folks that need help. That's what you got here. That's the church. And we're folks all trying to get ourselves together.
Oh, yes.
So we can work together and help each other cleanse our own life and to be the kind of people that we ought to be. So that we can say, even so, come Lord Jesus, like John. See, you ought to feel like that. You ought to say, oh Lord Jesus. Some people, I've heard people saying, oh Jesus, I hope to come next year, give me time to get myself together. Well, no, you ought to want him to come today, right now. So whatever that is, get that out your life. Whatever that thing is, got you feeling like, oh, I hope you don't come till next year. Yeah. Whatever it is, you ought to be ready. Tell him, Lord, I want you to come today. But you know what I keep thinking? The only thing that would hold me out from wanting to have him hurry and come is I think about a lot of people I know who I don't know how well they are grounded in the truth. Some of my relatives, people close to me, I'm concerned about their soul. You know, and you told them the story time after time, and sometimes they just look like they're not receiving. You know what I do for them? I pray somebody else, Lord, send somebody into their life to water that seed that's been planted so that they can grow and they can understand who you are and what you've done. See? And there may be people at your job, some people on your street, folks you don't know how well connected they are. But you know what? When you're well connected, what do you want to talk about when you come together with people? What's on your mind? I'm thinking about the Lord. I'm thinking about the gospel. When you run into people who totally don't understand, I think Brother Jeff was telling me about this. He may want to say something to us before we leave here. But he was telling me about them closing down the homeless shelter downtown and what an impact that had on the people who lived there. They were providing services for folks who needed help.
And they just told him, get out, hit the door. That's cold. But you think about what kind of an impact does that kind of a ministry have on people? And what are those people doing now? Doesn't that concern you? You see? So these kind of things, that's the stuff where we ought to be on the cutting edge of trying to do what we can to help people who need help, help get them on the right track, tell them about the Lord, help provide for what they need. Amen. So those are the kind of urgent things I see in our time. But you know what? I don't expect the devil not to attack me. If you expect that, that's foolish. You think you're going to get by without being attacked? That doesn't happen. Nope. That's why God calls it warfare. He didn't say, go sit in the corner and read the word. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, you got to boot up and suit up. Get yourself dressed up. But it's a battle. And it's not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. See, but don't go feeling like, oh, you know, I can just go take a back seat. No, you better dig a foxhole and get your sword. Get your sword and bone up on it. So you can protect your mind with the truth. So you can have your feet shine with the preparation of the gospel. Peace. What does that mean? Always be ready to walk for Jesus. Take a step in the right direction.
Yes.
Breastplate of righteousness. I understand. Because people are going to tell you, you know, y'all church folk, y'all ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. I'll say, yeah, you're right. Come on in. We got room for more. Yeah, we got room for more. There's plenty of seats in here. You hypocrites, come on in here. With the rest of us. So you have to be ready to be insulted, talked about. That's what they did to Jesus. Was there anything wrong with him?
No.
They talked about him like a dog, though, didn't they? See, he even got worse. We're going to spit on you and everything else. See, persecuted because he was doing the right thing. See, we're not really ready for that. You know what? I think there's a whole lot in the church that's not preparing people for that.
Nope.
They're telling you all about how great you are and all of that. Well, you may be, that's true. But now what's going to happen when somebody spit on you? How is that going to affect you?
Hello.
You tell them you believe in Jesus and they spit on you. I'll tell you, get out of here. Kick you and knock you off your porch. See what I'm saying? Jesus said, if don't cast your pearls before swine, you got to have some ability to judge who is it that doesn't understand what you're doing. But that didn't tell you to do anything but shake the dust and move on. See, he said that, but you've got to be prepared for that. You see, you got to be prepared. Suppose you're not prepared, you think, oh, everything should be roses. Remember, roses do have thorns. Yes, they do. Let me ask y'all to stand at this time. We're going to give an invitation. If you're here and for any reason that you were not saved, we pray that you understand that God loves you that much that he did what he did on Calvary in order to set you free and to give you salvation which you can never earn or deserve. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we praise you, we bless you, we thank you for giving your son so that even wretched sinners like us can be covered and forgiven of all sin, past, present, and future. You do a thorough job when you clean us up. And Father, we thank you for giving Jesus and allowing him to die for our sins, raised him out of the grave 3 days and 3 nights later, proving to the world that death had been swallowed up in victory. And because of his resurrection, Father, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. And we can face today, Lord God. Help us. Somebody just now got the understanding that that's what you did. And if they did, Lord, save them right now where they stand, Lord God. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Guide and lead them, Lord, to all truth. Bless them, oh God, in whatever it is that they need. We thank you for the privilege and the opportunity. And we declare that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. And we thank you for him today, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you that he was able to go in and even take the rejection that he received when he came the first time. And that you were well aware that men would reject him, even though some received him, shouting Hosanna. A week later, they cast him down and spit on him and crucified him. So help us to understand that type of rejection, Lord God, and help us to be strong men and women walking by faith and not by sight. Bless everyone in the sanctuary, asking you to be their personal Savior, and those hearing us online, that they too might be saved. Father, we give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. And we thank you for anyone just born into the family. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
And the church said together, amen.
Amen.
And we want to invite any of you who would like to be a member of the St. Timothy MB Church. You may come at this time. We keep our door open for new members. They accept a member by letter or candidate for baptism. Christian experience. You may come just as you are. Amen. We will be happy to have you. We have stuff to put you to work doing. Amen. We're forming people who trust Christ, who are not ashamed of the gospel. Amen. We have done as God commands. Amen. We see that there are none, but yet there is room.
Amen. So we thank God for each and every one of you. Hope you got a good word from the message today. Amen. Once again, we'd like to just acknowledge our visitors who are here with us. We thank God for you coming today. Amen. And we hope this